John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5. We got some calls. Let's get to them. Hey, you got anything you want to talk about? 713-780-3776. Time for Chris. Chris is here. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I had a question, I guess, about this upcoming draft. If Casero does not take a running back in the draft or maybe even in free agency, would that give us an idea about what's going on with Mixon and his comeback to the Texans? And I hang up and listen. Appreciate it.
Well, so I got word from a doctor that there was complications. There are complications for Joe that it does not look good. It does not look good. Like, I don't know that we'll ever see him again. So. There's zero chance that they don't add to that running back room this offseason.
Zero.
Yeah, they have to. I really do think we can put Joe Mixon in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, I'm not going to do any medical specifics, but this doctor told me that you can stop already with Joe Mixon. We'll see. It would be nice to have Joe back. Is he going to be the same guy?
There's no reason for all this. I mean, he's getting older anyway. He had taken on a heavy. For what? You can go get somebody cheaper than him.
No.
Just go get it. Would he play pretty well? Just go get a cheaper running back, somebody quicker than Nick Chubb.
Yeah, right. Well, now, if we get Joe Mixon from last year, holy crap, that'd be nice.
He didn't play football last year. He had a foot injury that was so bad that it couldn't heal. So, yeah. I'm guessing we're not getting the same Joe Nixon back if he came back. It's so bad that it wouldn't heal in a year.
No, you got to – and look what happened. You go, why not get a fifth rounder in Woody, and he turned out to be really good. That's fine.
He was a third.
Woody was a third? I thought he was fifth.
Yeah, I think they traded up to the third to get him.
You know what? That's fine. You picked up a guy that was productive for you in the third round. Get another guy. You got a 1-2 punch.
Fourth round. We'll just split the difference. You had Damian Pierce in the fourth. Good running backs are in the third and fourth. It's fine. Go get another one, and they're cheap. You can go get a veteran for $4 million.
No, are the best running backs high picks? Bijan, McCaffrey, who are some of the other really good running? You ain't got Saquon. The draft capital to be taking a running back in the first round.
Dude, I can find for every Saquon, Bijan, and McCaffrey, I can go find you Alvin Kamara's. I can go find you guys who have been monsters, who have not been first round.
Yeah, Achane was a third rounder.
Achane's a touchdown monster.
Yeah,
you have some really really talented Kyle Monning guy who's doing a great job for the Bears was the seventh rounder.
Yep.
I mean, it's not hard to find running backs. It really isn't. I wish I wasn't that guy, but it's just too much history that tells you that the Woody Markses are out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one position. Well, that and I think some offensive linemen that people miss on, you can get them sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get them late.
Well, not tackles usually, but yeah, guards and centers.
Guards and centers, yeah. Yeah. That's one position. Listen, or there's going to be guys on the street that you just go, hey, this guy could fit us. Let's grab him. And you could grab him for a cheap price.
Look, reset on running backs for cheap is one of the easiest things a team can do. Yeah. So Joe Mixon's got to go. Christian Kirk's got to go. You know, thank you for your service when you were healthy, Christian Kirk. But we've got Jalen Noel, who many people have told me is the best wide receiver of everyone. And so
no, Tank Dell is coming back.
Well, yeah, and Tank's coming back. Like, there's no reason to keep that big cap number. I would do an extension this offseason for Will Anderson if it made sense. I don't know the financials of what the cap ramifications are. I do know that the cap's going to go up because the NFL gets billions of dollars every year from a new streaming platform, and so your cap's going to go up. I would do the Will Anderson. You know, all that's going to cost you. It's just he's going to be the highest paid defensive end of football. When he signs, might as well sign him now than in a year. Let's do it now, and let's just get him extended and then control the money. You know, you're probably going to have to give him a big chunk up front. The good thing is nobody works harder than Will Anderson. Nobody's about football more than Will Anderson. Your money is safe when you give it to him. He's going to keep playing hard. That's not going to be a concern.
Here's the problem. Right now, SpotTrack has the Texans as a negative $2 million, which is in Kansas City's minus $55 million. The Saints are minus $41 million. The Texans are a negative $2 million right now at the cap. So I don't know if you're going to be able to put up a $40 million on Will Anderson this offseason. Obviously, you can backload it. Do a lot of
well. Usually, you front load it though, because you got
to
give that guaranteed money.
You're not going to be able to do that.
Can they defer until 2039?
Well, we ain't the Dodgers.
Okay. Can we give him $1 million this year and then $50 million later?
No.
Like the Dodgers?
No. We don't. We can't do it. But we could spread a big signing bonus over a year. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So the worst cap situations right now. Oh God. The Texans are down there, 23rd.
Yeah.
I'm showing minus $4 million. Did you say minus $2
million? Well,
SpotTrack's.
I'm looking at
SpotTrack. It says minus $4
million. The Chiefs are in the worst spot. The Saints, Vikings, Cowboys, Dolphins, Miami. Browns. Yeah. Browns are minus $18 million. Good Lord.
The Browns.
I mean, how bad is
that? That bad and that cap strapped. Holy crap. So here's your guys you're going to get rid of, I would say. Christian Kirk is a goner. This is a void year. He'll be gone. That will get rid of $11 million. You will have Joe Mixon. You only save $2 million of dead space. So you'll save $8 million. So there's a savings of $19 million right there. Autry, if you got rid of him, you save $5 million. That will be $24 million. You've got Jarrett Patterson, $3.7 million. Probably have to go, Jarrett. $37.7 million. I guess you redo Jake Andrews and keep him there. Well, I mean, you get to a lot lower. Those are the big ones. Sheldon Rankins, I mean, he's only $2 million. You're going to have to replace Sheldon Rankins with what? Another Sheldon Rankins? So you might as well just keep him for $2 million. I don't think I'd get away from him. Juice Scruggs, bye, Juice. Yeah. By Juicy, you got to go. $1.5 million savings. So you can get to pretty easily, you can get to $38, $39 million. I'm down here low. Like, these guys all have to be replaced with other guys in the roster. So,
well, again, you could backload it. And you can, you know, give them a signing bonus and low money this year when you're cap strapped.
Well, you have to get somebody restructured. Like, somebody's going to have to restructure. Yeah. And who is the high-dollar guys? Like, Danielle Hunter, you probably need to get him down to a $20 million cap hit and give him money up front. He's still got prorated signing bonus here, so you're still getting hit. Like, you know who could be a sneaky – cap hit, although you can't really afford it this year, is Titus Howard would – Titus Howard this year. Ooh, Titus Howard. His cap hit is $27 million. His base is $17 million. So you would save. No, the cap hit is $27 million. No, I don't even think that works.
No, and I don't think they're going to do that anyway. You got there's one thing you can't do.
And he's under a restructure anyway.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. Man, you're right. Maybe they can't afford to do Will this year.
Maybe. We'll see. They fudged with numbers. They know a lot more about it than we do. We'll see.
Yeah. No, they know how to create space. Yep. But here's, you know, isn't it going to be? It's going to be bad when your quarterback's asking for 150% of what you're, what Will going to get, like $30 million a year?
We can't talk about that. We're not talking about our player and our quarterback.
That's right. No more contract talk. It's too far down the road.
Yep. Let's talk.
Honestly,
about,
it is. It's too far down the road.
Let's talk about you getting more money in your pocket from John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's what's happening every day. My man John Clay Wolf pays more. He just loves to give more money to you, put it in your pocket. His business model is simple. I am going to buy as many cars as I can. And how do you buy more cars? Well, you pay more than the other guys for the cars. That's what you do. You probably overpay for cars. Who wins? You win. You win because you get more money for your vehicle. John Clay Wolf wins because he goes to auction with the car. He's not greedy. I'll get as much as I can. He takes some losses on cars, okay? You know, but he does so much volume that's how he makes his money, okay? I'm going to pay more, but I'm going to sell it at auction and make less. But that's okay because I pay more, I get more vehicles so I can afford to make less. That's his philosophy, and he's been doing that for years, and it's turned him into one of, if not the biggest car buyer in the country. You're looking for the best way to make sure that you are getting what you deserve or more for your vehicle. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. There's one place that you have to go if you're selling your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Yes. You're listening to John and Lance. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Keith's been waiting. Let's get him in here. Talk a little Ravens football. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Feels good to be ranked ahead of, Gary and Israel in terms of quality of callers. So I appreciate that.
We haven't put the numbers
out. Yeah, the committee hasn't gotten together on that yet.
The committee has not released our ratings for Tuesday night.
The rankings come out tonight.
All right, let me know. I think I'm in a good spot. I'm consistent. Ravens, Vanderbilt.
Notre Dame thought they're in a good spot, too.
Here's my question. Ravens, new coach, defensive coach. We got pick 14. Would you pull this trade off? I think this is a good trade. We ship out the 14th pick. We ship out Rashad Bateman, thank you for your service, and Malachi Starks into the top five, and we draft Caleb Downs out of Ohio State to pair with Kyle Hamilton. How good is that?
Hey, go ahead.
Why exactly would anyone want your bust of a safety pick so you can go get the better safety?
Yeah, your boy was on the Malachi Starks slow down train. He wasn't that good. It's like the other one that they had. Who was the other one? The other safety from Georgia, Louis Cine or whatever.
Lucine.
I was like, what are the Vikings doing drafting him this early? Same thing with Malachi Starks. Everyone was getting their gobblers on for him. I'm like, what's so exciting about Malachi Starks?
Did you see that clip, you guys, of the Ravens debating between him and Nick Umenyori, and how much they like Starks more? The clip came out.
It couldn't be me.
Yeah, wrong on that one.
Nick Umenyori looks like a freaking predator, like in a good way. The movie Predator, I should say. He looks like a velociraptor. He is big. He's long, runs fast, aggressive, can cover, can hit. Like, why in the world would you not want a safety that looks like that? And he's going to finish probably second, maybe third. An offensive and defensive rookie of the year. He was fantastic. Like, that's the mode if you can get those guys. I'll be honest. I watched Caleb Downs. I liked him. I'm going to give him a good grade, a 67. But he ain't Kyle Hamilton. And he's kind of small. I think he's a lot smaller. They list him at 6 feet, 205. It wouldn't shock me if he's a shade under 5'11". But he makes a ton of plays around the line of scrimmage. He plays with high level of urgency, but he doesn't play on the back. I'm not sure he's great playing on the back end because he's not going to win jump balls. And you guys can do that with Caleb. I don't care what you Ravens do. Y'all are done.
Yeah,
we're done with the Ravens.
The clip is the GM, Eric DaCosta, brought in their director of scouting and their college scouting guy to talk about the difference between the two players. And the director of scouting was very effusive in his praise of Malachi Starks, the intangibles, the playmaking ability. It's not even close to what Nick Umenyori.
What are we talking about here?
Well,
how did Keith get you guys?
I don't care about the Keith aspect of it. I care that there's a clip out there of the Ravens being really wrong on a player, and they sent it out there as part of their draft process. And it's there for everyone to take a look at how wrong they were.
Because they ended up drafting Starks.
Yeah.
Did Starks go first?
Yes.
He didn't go first, did he? Starks went ahead of Emi. Oh, Emi Yuri was a second rounder, I think.
Yeah. So I don't care about the Keith aspect.
Oh,
just that
embarrassing.
They decided to promote their decision making and completely wrong, at least so far.
Yeah, let's – all right. Malachi Starks and Ravens talk. That Keith just – he did it again. Keith has done it again.
Yeah, but it didn't go well for him when he did it.
No. In this century, every time the Super Bowl has been played between two teams, one traveling east and one traveling west, which team wins? Every single time.
I've already seen it.
Oh,
the team that travels east wins. Or west wins.
10 times it's happened this century. And every single time, the team that travels west, and they're going to be traveling west, and Seahawks will be traveling east. So there you have it.
Slightly east.
Well, slightly east. Really south.
Yes.
But they were apparently it
technically,
is somewhat east.
Southeast.
Southeast, yes.
By about 7 miles.
Whatevs.
It's 7 east. Miles east and about 1,000 south.
Yeah. Seven, whatevs. It's east.
All right, put all your money on. That sounds like part of the script. One of those Roger scripts.
I just have to believe this thing's going to get up to 8 points by the time the game starts.
Ooh, well, it does. You know what it feels like? It does feel like an old school. Dell, did you say this? It feels like one of those old school Chargers take on the 49ers.
Yeah, Broncos, Redskins.
Before you know it, before you know it, it's an obliteration. But I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, part of it is, I talked about it earlier, part of it is Sam Darnold. Like, this is so bad that Sam is 28-6 in his last two regular seasons. He's played so much better football. I guess I have to see him win a Super Bowl before I fully. Now, the defense is so dominant that I'm not sure how Drake May. Drake May's been terrible.
I don't know what Drake May's been terrible. See out of Sam Darnold anymore. The dude is.
Yeah,
playing.
You're right.
He's been great.
I'm just being honest. I'm just hating on him because I don't like white quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Well,
me and Israel.
I tell you what.
Well, the other guy's a white quarterback.
Yeah, but he's got a better playlist.
What?
Drake May? You think has a better playlist than Sam Darnold?
Yes.
No chance.
Definitely. Oh,
no
definitely.
Chance.
Well, when I say better, it's different. I think Sam's got a lot of rock in his.
Sam's from Southern California, or at least California, Capistrano Beach, went to USC. Drake's from the heart of North Carolina. No way that playlist is better.
What? Do you have any? Have you never met Drew Locke? Do you have no background on how Drew Locke gets
down? Drew Locke is on Sam Darnold's team. I bet you
Drew
Locke is.
Drew Locke gets. Drew Locke. Bucky Brooks told me all about Drew Locke. He said, Drew is one of us, brother.
I've seen Drew Locke.
That's
what I'm
saying.
That swag, I've seen Drew Locke mouth 50 Cent lyrics on the sideline.
Yeah.
Drake May don't got that on his as a backup.
He doesn't
have that.
I know Sam doesn't. Sam's just got Sublime.
Stop it.
Sam's probably got some old 311 because his older brother listened to it. I know what Sam's about.
It's better than Drake May. I don't care what you say.
Have you guys seen, speaking of white quarterbacks, did you guys see what Jason Whitlock put out?
I never do.
No. Jason Whitlock put out 12 teams started a white quarterback and white head coach in a minimum of 15 games. The 12 were Buffalo, Cincinnati, Denver, Detroit, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, the Chargers, Rams, Minnesota, New England, San Francisco, Seattle. 10
this
of
guy.
Those 12 teams posted winning records.
I wouldn't even have known to look for that.
8 of those 12 teams advanced.
Well, that's
to postseason
how he's making
play.
His. That's his. That's Whitlock's. Whole brand.
Right. Four is played the conference
out,
championship
is
games.
Is to point out the positive. I mean, Whitlock's trying way too hard now. For him to post an intentionally racial. Whitlock's trying super hard.
Year of the Black. Well, Israel is not following Jason Whitlock. I can tell you this right now. Okay? These 12 teams went 134-70. 65 win percentage.
As he started listing all those teams, how good were the defenses, and how many black guys were playing on those defenses? Like Sam Darnold's defense, best, one of the best defenses in football. Patriots got a pretty good defense, right? Who else? Who else? Broncos,
Bo
really good
Nicks.
Defense. Yeah. So when he went through that, did right. he did he take it? Oh, Vance Joseph runs the Broncos defense, by the way. Maybe that doesn't help his argument. I'm just trying to figure out how good were the defenses, and were they filled with white players, or were black players on the defense?
This has to be an exhausting effort.
I've always thought that when you have somebody who just hyper-focuses on black player this, black player that.
Right.
For Jason Whitlock, does he have a spreadsheet of white players doing well? Like, are these guys spreadsheet guys that keep track of, is there a race column and a performance column? Like, how exhausting must it be to keep up with everyone's race and stack them up so you can create your narratives and make your money on social media?
Right.
I'd rather just write up Brandon Cisse, this corner out of South Carolina. I'd just rather do that.
Yeah, well,
it's got to take effort.
Jason
to
Whitlock ain't
get
doing
your
all
spreadsheets.
That. Jason Whitlock ain't doing all that. He'd much rather look up who's white and who's black.
No, he's not trying to write up 500 players. You know, he played college football, right?
Yeah. He did.
He told
us. Did you know
us.
That, John?
He's told us.
Did you know he played at Ball State?
He did.
Yeah.
And where did Stephen A. play? Oregon State?
No, Stephen A. didn't play. That's Stephen Jackson.
No, Stephen A. He played basketball, played
Stephen
2 minutes
played
a game,
Stephen A. played at
HBCU.
Remember? He played at an HBCU.
Stephen
hey,
A.
I can't remember where he played. Did you see yesterday when Dan Orlovsky said, okay, so, John, you know how this works. So when you have a segment on TV, somebody either
Winston-Salem
a producer brings it
State.
Up. Okay, Winston-Salem State.
He averaged 1.5
points
per
Big
game.
House. That's where Big House Gaines was.
That's right. Yeah.
So here's how it works on TV. If you got a well, we'll do it on the other side. Yeah. I want to tell you something happened with Dan Orlovsky went after.
Oh, I know.
Stephen A. Smith.
I saw it.
Stephen A. Smith found a way to try to turn himself into some kind of hero.
What a hero he is.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
All right, time for you to talk a little Taquerias.
Yeah, Taquerias around us. I wish I had one here. I'm in Mobile, Alabama. I promise you there is no Taquerias around us here. Although, there was a good Mexican restaurant in Tuscaloosa, but that's, you know, 3 hours away. I've been around in Mobile. I would not eat any of the Mexican food around here. Not one bit. And Taqueria Sarandas is different. Like, it's just built different. You get authentic Mexican food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You've got authentic dishes. You've got delicious food at very, very reasonable prices. So much so that, you know, there's some restaurants you say, man, I can only go here once every few months. Or there's other price points you say, I can go here once a month. And maybe you have one that you say, I can come here every couple weeks. Taqueria Sarandas, go a couple times a week if you want, for breakfast and for dinner. You want to go for lunch and then to go watch the games, the basketball games or the, you know, baseball, football, whatever it is, your soccer on Saturdays or Sunday mornings. They've got breakfast. They've got lunch. They've got dinner. They've got a bar area where they're putting on your favorite games, and they've got margarita and beer specials and an entire menu that's designated just to that bar area. Taqueria Sarandas wants you to come in and experience the difference if you've never come in before. Grab yourself some great food at great prices. Multiple locations around Houston to stop in at. It's TaqueriaSarandas.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's talk. First of all, we haven't mentioned Jose Altuve. He is not playing in the World Baseball Classic. The Astros have asked him not to play, so he is not going to play. We talked about it yesterday. You know, Jose Altuve got hurt last one. You know what? Dude, you're older. Let's work on, you know, what you make millions and millions of dollars with us. Can you just not play? And Jose Altuve said, yes, I won't play. And that's the right call. An older player, you know, extending that kind of effort in the preseason, unnecessary. We'll see what happens with even Carlos Correa. I think Carlos is waiting still. The other day he was at FanFest and said, I don't know, I'm waiting on the team to okay me playing. I'm not sure that they're going to do that either, but with, you know, his history of injuries. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't heard if he's hurt. I'll ask my boy whether or not he can. He's going to play. But Jose Altuve not playing, and probably the right call.
Is it player specific or is this just their policy? No one plays.
They've let guys play before.
But I'm talking about this version, this season. Is no one going to play because that's just what they want, or is it?
No, I don't believe that. No, it's every player is different. It's player specific, I think, because everyone's waiting on their the approval from the team. So, I don't think it's their policy. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how many guys. But is Hunter pitching? No. Hunter's not. How about that? If Skeens, Skubal, and Hunter were the American pitchers, holy crap! How good is that? So you were talking about Dan Orlovsky. I want to get to the Mark Schlereth one too, but Dan Orlovsky went after
that one's caused a little. Greg Olson's ready to fight you over this stuff, but yeah, Dan Orlovsky basically said, okay, so this is how this happens. When something happens, a producer will come up with an idea, and they have meetings. You have meetings in the morning, and then you talk about it, or sometime the previous day, but probably meetings in the – well, no, for their show, they had to have it the previous day after their show was over. And they said, what are we going to do tomorrow? Okay, well, we'll try to talk about Shador. We're obviously going to try to talk about, you know, the same things we always talk about 1,000 times. But what about this one? You know, CJ – I mean, Stephen A. was pretty hard on Drake May. I mean, on Sam Darnold. Remember that, Stephen? We had those – you said this in September. You said this and this. And pretty hard. Why don't we? Wouldn't it be funny if we played those, like a montage of the clips of him going after Sam Darnold? And then we can, you know, kind of have fun with that. Now, so that's how that works. You don't actually, nothing's a surprise on air, on TV. Nothing on those shows is ever a surprise. It's already fleshed out. It's rare. And especially on Stephen A.'s show. You're not going to embarrass Stephen A. Smith without him having, you know, knowing that this is a segment. So Dan Orlovsky introduces it, and he shows, and you know, and it's supposed to look like Stephen A. didn't know what was coming. So he introduced it, and he shows these clips of Stephen A. going after Sam Darnold. I'll trust it from last year, from this year, from early in the year, from November, and sometimes Dan Orlovsky would counter him on some of these clips. Some of them are just Stephen A. going after him. Then after the clip's over, Dan and Ryan Clark, because those are the only guys who do the show, so, and Cam Newton, and so they start laughing, and Stephen A. go, all right, let me say something here. And so Stephen A. literally says, first of all, this segment doesn't even get on if I don't allow it to get on. So you're welcome, or something to that effect, where he basically says, I'm the guy who's letting this on the air, because if I didn't want it on the air, it's not on the air. And I was like, do you really want to say that publicly? It, like, you want to take credit for letting them put something on the air?
Well, that's something that is, yeah.
But he usually is pretty defensive.
It's his show, so you had to go after him. I could certainly see that. You just don't say it, though. I mean, you just take it like, you know, a joke, and you move on. But he was like, I'm the one that's the hero here.
We're not even going to put that on if I don't let that on.
That's right. The producers are going to tell me, and I ain't going to put that on. So, whatever. Whatever.
Thank you for your service, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Sean Payton is catching it. And, McVay's catching it a little bit, too, in L.A. for some of his decisions. But Sean Payton's really catching it for not kicking that field goal. Mark Schlereth was on with Dan Patrick yesterday. And asked about that, Mark Schlereth says, I hate nerds. I hate, you know, the analytics crap. Anybody, you know, don't talk to me about analytics. You're a bunch of nerds, and I hate all of you, and I hate analytics.
It was pretty much like that.
That's
pretty much what he said.
It is. No, that's exactly what he said. I hate nerds. I hate analytics, and I hate the nerds. So here is, but he does go on, and this is something that, you know, football people and analytics people that maybe analytics people, the analytics doesn't drive. Here, listen to him explain why you don't just go by what it says on the paper.
I always get into this with guys. You like the 2-point conversion play, and we got to go for it on fourth down and all this stuff. And, you know, you get the sample size of data. But, hey, man, if I haven't blocked your defensive front all day long, right, that data changes. If my guards can't handle your three techniques, if my tackles can't handle your defensive ends, then we need to change. Like that math doesn't work. Math has never made a tackle. Math has never blocked anybody. Math has never done any of that stuff. And I always say this to analytics guys. How many 2-point conversion plays do you think are in any given game plan? And they're all like, I don't know. And I go, we go in with one that we like and one that we kind of like. And we practice them on Fridays in hats and T-shirts. So you don't ever get a full rep look at a 2-point play. And so that math is that to me, that math is faulty. And you got to understand like that the feel of the game. And I thought Sean made a major gaffe not going for it or not kicking that field goal. But that has become endemic of the league in general. Yeah. Like nobody, it's almost like you're a wussy if you kick a field goal. And I hate the momentum shift. I hate it all. Like, take the points.
That's it. It cannot be more. That can't be more accurate. There's nothing. It's like it's in a lab, like it's in a Petri dish. It's not. You know, how's the game going? He had said earlier, he said, you know, we rushed by that time. We rushed for maybe 4 inches in that game. So we had to throw it, knew they were going to throw it. They knew we were going to throw it. And you got a guy who hadn't played at all that you're depending on to make that play. There were so many. And oh, by the way, the weather forecast for the second half was you knew it was going to be a low-scoring game. All of these things, yet you go for it because it's 2026. And he exactly right. Oh, why would you left 4 points? No, you didn't. You put 3 points on the board.
Did you see Sean's response where he talked about it?
No.
Peyton? I mean, he's admitted, you know, with the weather being the way it was in the second half, of course, it made the points, and I realized, man, these points are going to be even more valuable. Sean knew. He regrets the decision. He said, you know, I wanted to get up 14-0. And I think he wanted to get up 14-0 because he knew he had a backup. And I think he said, we had the momentum. I really wanted to get up 14-0. He didn't say the next part, which was because we had Jarrett Stidham, and I knew we were going to be more limited.
10-0 would have been enough.
But you take the points because yep. It is a lower scoring game. And so I agree with what he said. Now I'm gonna counter something, just in fairness. That's always been my problem. But, you know, the arguments we're having with really is people on Twitter. If you really want to know the truth, it's people on Twitter and analysts like Greg Olson who – and I think Greg Olson's incredibly smart. And the analytics argument makes math sense in a general sense. Here's my problems. Are you taking the data from these fourth down conversions? Like, is there an updated data set that you say, okay, are you actually using past data? Because many times they're not. They're using expected play numbers. Are you using what you should be using is real data, real past performance data, and it needs to be team specific. There needs to be very specific elements in it. I talked to Tyler Oberle, Craddock Malhotra from A&M. These are guys who are analytics directors, and they both get so fed up watching. Tyler's not doing it anymore, but they get fed up watching, seeing the discourse on social media. Because their whole thing is you've got people here who are making strong analytics-based commentary without understanding it on the team front. We need to take a look at weather, at injuries, at matchups, all the stuff that Mark Schlereth is talking about. So I do want to say this, John. On the team front, the analytics people are not making the decisions. They're just saying, look, this is what the numbers say. It's up to Sean Payton to make his decision. The head coach is still, you know, I don't blame the analytics directors for doing their numbers job. I will say that I think on the team side, it's a lot better than what people on Twitter are acting like these numbers that are in a vacuum. You just, well, the numbers say go for it. Well, that's stupid. You know, the argument about going for 2 points. I will never understand this going for 2-point conversion.
But Lance, the coaches, and you just said it. The most important person making that decision is the coach. And for whatever reason,
it's on
coaches
his shoulders.
Coaches this year especially, or the last couple of years, are making dumb decisions, not using the not using a common sense when it comes to whether or not to kick or go for it.
You know, it's funny, though, because now I could say this argument. This argument maybe isn't a good one, but because in a football game, no two football games are the same. No two matchups are the same. I firmly believe in momentum. I firmly believe in field position, where if you make a mistake, it's one thing for you, for Sean McVay to go for it and not get it when you're down inside the 10-yard line. Like, I understand that argument. If you don't get this first down or whatever, and it's fourth down, but they're at their 6-yard line, okay, and they got to go this many yards. I get that argument. The argument about going for it on your own side of the field, you know, that's a much trickier one. Like, how many points are expected to be scored? If it's expected to be a high-scoring game, then you're going to be more aggressive.
And
right?
Who screwed the pooch? And who screwed the pooch? Andy Reid. Dumb.
Yeah, and it's the same kind of game as that, exactly, where points are at a premium. You don't – it may look like hindsight, but it's not, because we were saying the same thing when it happened. What are you doing, Sean? You got to back up in cold weather.
Right.
Take your 10-point lead. What are you doing, Andy? You literally are – Houston has no momentum right now. They can't do anything offensively. You just punt the ball. Now, I was happy he didn't. But you punt the ball and play defense and let Houston screw it up, or just keep playing a field position battle. Now, you know, in blackjack, everyone expects you to just play the numbers. You know, you hit on 16 and that's it. I like to play my gut. Sometimes I just have a feeling like, you know what, I'm not going to hit this on 16. The dealer's showing it an 8 or a 7. I'm going to sit with my...
How many 16. Low cards have been coming out, and how many high cards have been coming out?
Well, John, that's card counting, and that's could get you hit.
Well,
with a hammer,
no, but
in
you
the back
get a
of the
feel.
Casino.
You get a feel. We got a break. 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on this or anything else? You're more than welcome. It is a new year. It is a new. It can be a new you at HRP. My peeps over there at HRP, I love what they do for us. They partner with us. Okay, their success hinges on our success. If we're not successful, if we're not making money and doing it, and saving money in places where we can save money, doing it more efficiently where we can do it more efficiently, having the technology, and, you know, it's something that if we're trying to do our own payroll, if we're trying to do our own HR, you know how costly that is? You know how many errors there are? We don't do that for a living. HRP does that for a living. We sell our widgets, which is advertising. You know, that's what we sell. And HRP does the rest for us. And so it's just such a good combination that I don't know what business you're in. I don't know what it is that you sell. But you don't do payroll. You don't do HR. You don't know taxes. You don't know all the ins and outs. You don't know 401ks and insurance packages. HRP does. They don't sell those, but they can lead you in the right direction for your company, because that's what they do. You will succeed because HRP is helping you succeed. We succeed because of HRP. Everyone that comes on our air and that gives testimonials for HRP will tell you the same thing. We partner with HRP. We want you to too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back. 713-780-3776. The NBA put out its power rankings. They got the Pistons number one. OKC has been mediocre. They're 13-9 in their last 22.
Yeah,
they have
that's
not been
crazy.
Good.
Uh-uh.
They're taking, like, their contested threes. This is how you beat OKC. If they got wide open threes, they knock them down. If you contest them, they're like one of the worst in the league. The Rockets are third right now. They didn't play like it last night. But they're according to the NBA, their power rankings, Rockets third, Spurs, Nuggets, they don't have Jokic. But did you see the other day, Sunday, Zion played Wemby? Zion destroyed him. Zion
really?
Ran by him. Like, I mean, it was, he had 24, and he just, yeah, Wemby was helpless against him. Like, literally, let him... Just Olay, just go, Zion, because I ain't contesting you at the rim, I can tell you that.
I mean, was, those are two different kind of, you know, yeah. Those are two different kind of players. But, you know, Zion was, did have, and I don't like this term, but I do use this term, I think, realistically. He did have generational talent. I mean, you don't have guys that big and that explosive, not typically. Barkley was like that, but he was a little more skilled than Barkley coming out. And, you know, we know the deal with Zion. But I would imagine when he gets it cranked up and he's healthy, he's not fun to – he's not going to be fun for some sack of – a big, giant, long sack of bones to try to guard.
Yeah. Last night, the Lakers beat the – Luka is so freaking good. Skinny Luka is a different deal now. Holy crap. He is just so good. He just knocks down everything he throws up. He is – he's ridiculous. Luka and LeBron's a fraud, but that's different. That's another story.
What?
I'm just not a fan. He got fouled last night. He was his shoulder. Oh, my shoulder.
He's 41. There's a chance he woke up with a bad shoulder.
Yeah. That is true. And it's true.
Be real. That shoulder's going to start hurting. If you're, what did I do? I didn't even do anything and my shoulder hurts. Yeah.
What do you think is Aiken? What do you think is Aiken Gilbert right now? Gilbert.
Oh boy.
Gilbert, are you there?
Hello? Is it John Lance?
It is Gilbert.
Yeah. I think you're gonna win the whole thing anyway.
Who is?
Yeah.
Well, who's
one
thing
I
want to
know anyway.
I think he said New England. I speak fluent.
I want to say something about Tal Smith. He was a nice guy anyway.
Tal Smith? Did Tal Smith die?
I don't know. You tell me.
No, I don't want to put death on Tal Smith. I don't know.
What's bringing this up? Well, we're kind of curious. Why are you saying that right now, Gilbert?
I'm good. Your secretary haven't called me yet anyway. And by nursing home anyway.
What?
Your secretary, Lori.
Oh, so Tal Smith's secretary called you?
No, she hasn't called me in months. Anyway, I'm worried about her anyway.
Oh, yeah, well.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. You just said Tal Smith is, you said he was a great guy, or what'd you say?
He was a great guy anyway.
He's a great guy, but
anyway, I'll try to Can you look it up?
I looked it up as of this morning.
He's alive.
He appears to be alive, Tal Smith. No reports on his death.
No one likes when you make comments like this, though, Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert.
He is 92 years old.
92.
Well, he's still alive?
As of this morning, he is still alive.
He's still alive, but what?
What? Funeral
just answer
him,
please.
Are you going to go?
Wait, hold on.
Is that a soundbite, or did Gilbert just say that?
Who would know?
Is that going to go where?
Do me a favor, you guys. You do me a favor.
What?
Will you tell Tal Smith to call me?
I don't talk to Tal Smith. Tal Smith hasn't been with the Astros in 20 years.
I don't have Tal's number.
We don't talk to. I don't even have. Yeah, we don't have.
Gilbert,
Tal
who
Smith.
Is the secretary that you entered into this? You brought into the storyline.
What's his secretary's name, Gilbert?
Lori.
In this episode,
Lori.
Yeah, who's this new character you brought into our episode? In the story arc, who's this Lori?
She hasn't called him in months.
Yeah, because she didn't came my nursery home and took care of me.
She did.
Tal Smith's secretary came and took care of you?
No, she was a Tal Smith's secretary.
And she came to your nursing home and took care of you?
She did?
I just called you.
This is
Gilbert.
I'm more confused than ever.
Yeah.
Gilbert, I don't know any. I don't have any idea why this character is on the show.
Yeah. I think it's a why person. Did, not a character.
Why did Lori?
This character.
It's just the character development. Why? What was Lori?
What does she look like, Gilbert?
What is she? Well, why is she still calling you?
She's a good friend of Lori's anyway.
She what?
I'm a good friend of Lori's anyway.
Okay, you're good
Lori,
friends with Lori.
Somebody it, listening, if they know Lori, tell her to call me. Up anyway.
Have Lori give him a call.
If you know Lori, tell her to call.
Yeah, so yeah. Lori is the old.
Home.
Any Lori.
Come by Sharpview.
Any Lori will so, do.
Any Lori.
No, it needs to be the right Lori. He doesn't like surprises. Unless they look good.
Well,
so,
what does Lori
hold on,
look
Gilbert.
Like?
I think we know.
Yeah, that's no. a that's an important one. Gilbert's from the same. Gilbert was the same county commissioner, the same county judge as John, who makes his decisions based on looks.
What does she look
guilty
like?
Or innocent.
If you have a good-looking Lori, have her call Gilbert.
So, yeah. Gilbert, this is Tal Smith's old secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And so you've got a phone. Like, how are you still in contact with her?
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
Okay.
And I will do it anyway.
He's good. He said he brought you food, but you let us down with the win. With the
yeah,
the,
why didn't the Texans win, Gilbert, when you got your food?
Well, they is up to the ship for David Mills, quarterback.
Well, they should have been
taking half instead of
yeah.
Depending no, on us.
Hey, CJ Gilbert is
Stroud,
that,
you know.
Yep. Actually, hey, yeah. that's Gilbert's not on right. Gilbert. That's on D'Amico.
Maybe if they had maybe the Chili's food to Sharpview Rehab and Hospital or Home Rehabilitation Center, wherever Gilbert is. Maybe that was meant to get a W with Davis Mills, and there's nothing Gilbert can do about.
Gilbert can't account
coaching
for
decisions.
Bad coaching decisions. An obvious right. one that should have been made.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if, listen. If Gilbert thought that, I mean, it was pretty basic.
I mean,
wasn't
the
it?
Entire city. I mean, Gilbert, the entire city, the entire country watching the game.
Well, yeah. not Ryan Clark.
Well, certainly not.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Well, Gilbert's got that on.
All right, talk to you guys later.
All right, Gilbert. Appreciate you. That's Gilbert.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Lori.
Lori. We have a new character on the show.
Do we believe that a secretary of Tal Smith was ever in contact with Gilbert?
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
Okay.
The Big Relentless is going to make enough calls.
But making calls?
Where Tal said, Lori, just call this number, Gilbert.
But
and just talk to
several
him. Send him a
calls?
Send him a hat.
He sounds like this was an ongoing thing.
Oh, no. John,
that she
would you like to tell him how many calls Wendy got from
no,
Gilbert?
No, that's not
it
what
is an
I'm
ongoing
saying.
Thing.
Not him calling them. He is making it sound like Lori was calling him on a consistent basis.
Well, yeah. I think he may be overselling that. I do think Lori's probably a nice person who wanted to do right by Gilbert, but eventually he will wear everyone down.
Yeah.
Eventually you cannot, no, you cannot cope with the amount of calls and requests that you get from Gilbert. It's not possible.
Yeah, I don't think Gilbert made that up in his head. It actually
no,
happened.
Not at all.
Yeah,
he's,
it actually
he's
happened.
He's the epitome of give him an inch.
He's not.
Oh, he not, is.
He is the textbook definition.
Your mom.
Textbook.
How many times did your mom say that to you? Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's two Americas. My mom never said that to me.
She didn't?
It's kind of a white thing, I think.
Give
but,
him an inch.
But
take a mile.
He is the textbook example.
Yeah. That's what my mom said all the time.
You give in, no. That's 100% true.
Yeah. All right.
And women are nicer than men. So they're more – well, Will's really nice. But women were like, oh, I need to call Gilbert again. I need to call him back. And then eventually Janet Shamblin just said, I've got to get a protective order. This is too much.
Yep. And you know what? And maybe Gilbert should have bought her something from Zadig.
I mean – you know, if he had it like that, then yeah, absolutely. I know Zadig can help curry favor. I would say that's pretty fair. Zadig Jewelers has what woman doesn't love a great tennis bracelet? Show me a woman who doesn't love beautiful earrings and diamond pendants and pearls and luxury watches. I mean. You know, everyone's going to love that. Men's luxury watches. Zadig's going to have it. The very best quality in the city of Houston can be found at Zadig Jewelers. They're at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. They've been in business for over five decades, right there off of Post Oak, or right at five decades, right there at Post Oak. And their new facility, they've had it open for just a few years now, is over 28,000 square feet, the entire upper level. It's two levels. The upper level's dedicated to the bridal process, which means obviously finding the right engagement ring. There's a lot of people now where the woman wants to come in and kind of pick out the ring. She wants to find a ring that she knows she's going to like, and that's fine. And so they want you to bring her in, and they will help make that process go smoothly in terms of educating you on what you might need to know or just working with you on what you really want or what she really wants. It's the Zadig difference. Get the quality you're looking for at very, very fair prices, and you're going to get service that is unmatched when it comes to helping you find the perfect gift. It's Zadig Jewelers, ZADOK.com, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, Zadig Jewelers.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.